I hand this off. Can you make sure it keeps recording? If not, hit record again. Well, who put that up, Rocky? Rocky, come on out. That's Corey the farmer, not Corey the pastor, I guess. I enjoy being a farmer, too, and I was pretty proud of that. That was a good-looking hay bale. That was the last hay bale of the year, the one you look for all summer long. So open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord, and I just thank you for each and every person here today, Lord God. We thank you for another bright, sunshiny day and a warm day and a cold winter, Lord, and the good weather we've been having, Lord. I ask that you just go before the message. Let it land on solid ground, fertile ground, like I always pray, Lord God. Speak to that one right person that might be here today, Lord, that's looking for that message, or the whole congregation, Lord. And I just thank you for it, and I want to thank you for being here today, and just lift up your name and give you all the praise and glory and honor here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So they put it up there. I'm talking about, my text is a little small, but I'm going to talk about lessons at sea today. Lessons that we can learn when we go out to sea, or out at sea. You got the picture there. You probably kind of got a little bit of an idea where we're headed. Anybody ever find yourself stuck in life's storms? Stuck in a big storm that you don't know how you got there, and no matter what you do or how hard you try, you just can't get out of it. Can't seem to ever make any headway. You're fighting against the storm, and when you think you're getting somewhere, all of a sudden then you get knocked back, and no matter what you do, that storm is kicking your butt. And you can think that there's nothing that could ever good come out of that storm. Nothing. What good comes out of going through storms, right? Nobody likes going through storms, but I got good news for you today, and it comes right out of the Bible. Good news that he's able to get us through those storms, right? Amen. He's there with us in those storms, and there's certain benefits. We're going to start going through it or talking through it here today, but there's benefits that comes through going through storms, isn't there? Things that we get or places we get to that we would never be had we not gone through a storm. And go to Hebrews. Rocky, you just want to follow me? I didn't give him a whole lot of directions, but he's good at following. Hebrews 12 and 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. I think we'll all agree with that, right? Discipline is not joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, key words there, trained by it, afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Amen. So I'm not telling a story that anybody hasn't heard. If you've ever been to Sunday school or you read your Bible at all, we all know this story. What's the picture lead, you think, where we're headed? Jesus walking on the water. It's a story we've all heard. We all know it. So in today's story or in today's message, we find the disciples, where are they at in the boat? They're in the grips of a big storm, right? We're talking storms today. Place that they don't want to be. Place of despair. So we jump just ahead of that a little bit. We talk about where Jesus is at. They just come off of feeding the 5,000, right? Took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he fed 5,000 and had a whole lot to spare afterwards. This is right after that. And as those crowds are dispersing and that's breaking up, Jesus tells the disciples, head on out across the sea there. Head on over to the other side. He said, I want to be alone. I'm going to go to pray. So he sends the order or the disciples away. And some versions say he constrained them or even forced them to go. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to leave him. But to be alone, he commanded them. He gave the direct order. The general said, go to the other side. So the disciples were following Jesus' order, right? They're doing exactly what he had told them to do. They were following it to the letter. Themselves in a sea. So it tells us, we can be following right in God's will. We can be in his direct plan, following his direct orders, and we're still going to run into storms. You don't have to be out doing wrong, or you don't have to be out sinning or get caught somewhere you're doing something you're not supposed to be. You can be in the direct will of God, and you can still run into some storms, right? How many agrees the more you study, the more you learn, right? The more you read, the more you study. So I've been studying lots of other stuff, and you get on some online courses that you do and stuff, and brings up people that I never knew of before, but Origen of Alexandria, long old school, they describe him as like a genius of the early church, and he's got some pretty cool writings and stuff, and in his one writing on this, he describes that it's Jesus' intention to perform and permit them, to allow them to go out in that storm so that he can explain his actions. Anybody agree? The disciples went through that storm so we could be standing here today and talking about it and learning a lesson through it. That's his ultimate plan. He's planning way ahead of us. Or we could even argue that the disciples just didn't want to be away from Jesus. Maybe they seen the weather coming and they knew there might be a storm. Maybe they just were afraid to go without him. But regardless, he had to get them to the other side, right? No matter what the reason was for them to go and why he told them to go ahead of him, he had a plan. He had an idea. He had a lesson for us to learn. So regardless of whatever took him across that, our lesson is we can be in the exact will of God and still encounter storms. But on the other side of that, if Jesus tells you to go over to the other side, should we worry about going under? When that storm comes, should we worry about going under when he tells us to go over to the other side? He's got a plan. He's not going to test you beyond what you can handle. He knows what he's doing. So let's jump into the miracle a little bit, right? We all agree this is a miracle, Jesus walking on water. That's a pretty cool thing. It doesn't happen every day. But one thing I'm talking about today is, when we read the Bible, Jesus is always in the foreshadow, right? He's always a subject. He's always, no matter where we're at in the Bible, Jesus is always there. It's always, you're always learning. He's always foreshadowed. If he's not the front, he's in the background somewhere. He's always there. And Peter, in the New Testament, we get into Peter, or in the New Testament, Peter's a main character, right? One of the disciples, he's in there a lot. Often the main character. But today I want to pay attention to the storm. Storms, Jesus is always number one, but the storm is one I'm talking about a little bit today. So I got my notes. Jesus is always Lord. Jesus is always the master. He's always in charge, right? Peter, kind of like a little bit like us or me, sometimes has a tendency to engage his mouth before his brain, right? And he's always out saying things and doing things sometimes, but Jesus is always in control. So if it hadn't been for the storm, Jesus and Peter both wouldn't have had the opportunity for that lesson. He wouldn't have been able to give us that lesson had they not had encountered the storm to get them out on the water there. Same goes for us today. If you got no storms in your life, do you have much of a testimony? Has he gotten you through some stuff? If everything's peachy, life's always good, I'm an easy, feel-good Christian, I don't have a lot of testimonies. Once you go through some storms, you got something to shout about, right? You got something to make some noise about, something to praise about, something that you can learn from experience. I've been here, but now I'm here because of Jesus. I can weather some storms because of Jesus. I have the confidence in who he is. I've seen his goodness. I've seen what he can do, and I know what he's going to do for me. We are the person we are because of the storms we've been through. We like testimonies in this church, right? We had a few of them today. We always pass the mic. If you got a testimony, we want to hear it. We like testimonies. Testimonies a lot of times require storms. And you know what else we can testify about? Not that Jesus kept us or God kept us from that storm, but that he was there in the middle of that storm with us, right? That's definitely an amener. Might not keep you from the storm, but he is going to be right there by your side the whole time. A storm with Jesus by your side is a whole lot different than a storm on your own, ain't it? Anybody heard when the going gets tough, you know who your friends are? When you're down and out and things aren't so great, you know who your friends are? We got a friend in Jesus, right? When we're down and things aren't so great, he's our Heavenly Father. He's watching out for us. So I debated putting this in here, and I know my crew's going to make a lot of fun of me because where I'm headed, but I'm a Star Wars fan. Like a Star Wars geek, like I'm up there on the, and so is my daughter. But I like Star Wars. So this kind of gives you a whole different train of thought here, but I need a church full of stormtroopers, right? Stormtroopers that have been through some storms and they know how to get through them. Stormtroopers can testify that God came to my rescue. He helped me. He saved me. Without God, I'd have lost my mind. So I'm preaching today not for that feel-good Christian or for that I'm only in when it's good Christian, because we're talking about storms and we're not talking about when everything's just good. I'm talking about the Christians that can praise God when you're in the middle of that storm and it's dark out and you're not feeling so great, but yet I'm going to still come to church and praise and worship them, right? Yes. Don't want to be that Christian just sits and watches the other person next to me praising and thinking, what do they got going on? Because they could be going through a storm just like you. Yeah. Worship and praise that comes when you're soaking wet from a storm is a whole lot different, ain't it? When we can praise through that storm, we're soaked to the bone and we're soaking wet and that storm it's kicking our butt. When we can praise in that time, that's a whole lot of worship. That's a whole different level of praise. I'm not just talking about a little spring rain or April showers bring May flowers type of rain. We're talking about storms. We read in the Bible there, and the disciples, it talks about them. They were afraid. They were fearful that they were going to die. They were rowing. It said Jesus could see them rowing, but the wind was contrary, so they weren't going to get anywhere. We're talking about storms that make you wonder, am I ever going to make it through? I don't see an other side of this storm. How am I going to get there? How am I going to get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee? So a while ago, I said in a message, I don't even know if a couple messages ago, that I have no doubt 100% that God is real, right? And his power and the things that he can do is, there's no doubt in my mind because of the things I've seen happen. The miracles we've seen, the works we've seen him do, I've seen him do. I made the comment, I have no doubt 100% he is 100% real, all powerful, all everything. No doubt in my mind. Well, another reason you can say that is because of the storms he's brought you through. Yes. He's brought you through that storm, and you've experienced. You know his goodness. You know what he can do. And there is no doubt in my mind what he will do. Amen. Bible says he provides shelter in the time of storms, right? Anybody experience shelter in the time of storms? Experience comfort in the time of storms, he's there to look out for you as long as we look to him. I don't know why I take so many notes because I get off track and I get lost here, but I got David puts it this way, Psalms 27, Rocky, and starting in 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? That's good. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Before they could get to you, your enemies stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, not just the good days, but all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. And the next verse, here it is, verse 5, for in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. Some versions say it a little different. Hide me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. In the times or in the day of trouble, he will hide me. He'll conceal me in his tabernacle. And we carry on and it says, now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. That tells us in the days of trouble, he's going to protect us. He's going to protect you. He's going to hide you underneath his wing. He's going to comfort you. I got a few psalms here. 37, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither away like the grass and fade like the green herb. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about the evildoers. They're going to wither away. They're going to fade away. But trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will do it, right? We all know this one. You prepare a table for me before in the presence of my enemies. So in the presence of your enemies, he's going to hide you. They're mad at you. They're trying to get at you. They're doing whatever they can to get you down. But he's going to hide you in the presence of your enemies. They want to see you fall. They want to do what they can to get you down. But you're hidden underneath his wing, right? He's protecting you. Cannot get you. Anoint my head with oil and my cup, what? Overflows. Overflows. It just pours out. It's running out. My cup is so full that I don't know what to do with everything that's pouring out. His blessings are pouring out and I can't contain them because he's so good. His blessings are just pouring out. Amen? Anybody experience any of those blessings? Cup overflowing? He's worthy to be praised, right?
Yes, he is.
God is good in the morning, right?
Yes,
in the evening?
Yes,
in the midnight hour?
Yes,
when you're sleeping?
Yes,
when you're wide awake?
Yes,
up?
Yes,
down?
Yes,
no matter where you are?
No matter where
you are. We know God is good, right?
Right.
Got one of my favorites here. I like the O's in the Bible, and I didn't put it up there, but O, taste and see that the Lord is good, right?
Yes.
He is good.
Yes.
Even when I'm not so good, he is still good. Even when we're not so good, he's still good. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
All right, so I'm back to Peter and Jesus walking on the water. Jesus is always number one. Peter's going to walk on the water. We know that. We've read it. But the main point I'm getting here is still at the storm. So I want to try this on for size, see how it fits, see what you think about it. God uses storms as transportation, right? He wants us to be somewhere. He needs us to get there. But sometimes he's got to take us through some storms to get there. We could not get where God's trying to get us without a few storms in our life. The storm's going to get the disciples to the other side. It's fighting them, but it's Jesus sent them out in that storm, but it's also going to get Jesus to the disciples, right?
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for the storm, he wouldn't have to save them. If it wasn't for the storm, they'd have just gotten the boat and gone over to the other side, and we didn't have our lesson here today. The disciples didn't have their lesson. So let's work on that a little bit, the walking on water. Like I said, the more talking, the more studying you do, the things... All of a sudden, wait a minute. So the background of Jesus walking on the sea has its beginning in the Old Testament, right? Anybody have read those verses or remember it, or if you start studying it, Yahweh, the creator, the omnipotent, the very creator of everything, treads on water. We can find it in Psalms 77 and 19. And if you read before and after this, there's more of it, but this is the main verse. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. Your way was in the sea. That's cool stuff. I like it. All right, so we're jumping back into Matthew. Matthew 14, that's where the story is. 23 is the first time in the gospel that we hear of Jesus going off to pray. Leaving everyone else behind and going to a quiet place, a secret place. And he's going away to pray. He tells the disciples to go ahead. He's going to dismiss the crowd of 5,000 plus that he just fed. And he goes to the mountain to be by himself and pray. Anybody get away anywhere to pray? I've seen Ronnie post every now and then. She goes off to some camp there to pray, right? I remember Dad years ago. We had different mobile homes at the place, and he'd go for a day or two and just to pray. I spend a lot of time in my sauna praying. That's one place I like to go. It's quiet. It's a separate place. Anybody got a quiet place they go to? If you don't, you should. Find yourself a place to get away. But Jesus is about to do something great. He knows what's coming up. He's about to perform a great miracle. Miracle walking on sea. But the first thing he does before that, he just finished a great miracle and he's about to do another one. First thing he does is go, separates himself, and spends time in prayer. Spends time with the Father. And then it's after that, once he spent some time, he let them go for a while. He comes down and he does this incredible miracle, walking on the water. Turns the rule book upside down, right? We've read it, so we have accepted walking on water, but they hadn't seen that back then in the day. They'd never seen anyone walk on. You wouldn't even think of that. Walk on water. Hey, Jesus, why don't you try walking on water? I got to believe that wasn't a conversation. He just takes the rule book and says, this is who I am. I'm turning the rule book upside down. And he does what nobody has ever done before. And he walks on the water just as if it were land. So in my notes of Corey, I got strange things happen when you pray, right? He went and prayed, and some strange, mighty things happened. The storm at sea is a transportation Jesus uses to come to their aid, to the disciples' aid in the darkness. So we read in the text, it talks about it being the fourth watch, right? We read in Matthew, so there's fourth watch, four watches. So obviously they were in the last one, but 6 to 9 was the first. 9 to 12 was the second watch. 12 to 3 in the morning was the third. And the fourth watch, we all know, the just before the sun comes up, is typically the darkest hour of the night, right? It's the coldest hour in the morning in the wintertime. It is the darkest. It is the worst of all watches. Anybody been in a good storm?
Yes.
Seen it get black as night out in the middle of the day because of the storm? I've seen it. It can be the middle of the day and the sun disappears and it is black out as can be. It gets scary, right?
Yes.
In the middle of that darkness, we might not be able to see him, but he can always see us. In the middle of our storms of life, we might not be able to see him, or we might, like Peter, lose sight of him, but he doesn't lose sight of us. So, fourth watch, Jesus sent him away because he knows everything. He knows they're going to run into the storm. He's given them time to get out there. And later on in Mark and John, you can say he can see them rowing against the wind that was contrary, and he could see them struggling. So the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles wide at its widest point. Not huge, but not small either, right? And it says at some point that it's where they cross is 3 to 4 miles. So about 3 to 4 miles, and they weren't even part way across. So in good weather, you could probably row across that fairly quick, right? Bunch of disciples in there working. Jesus said, get to the other side. We're rowing to the other side. The Bible says it was daytime when they left. At least in Matthew, it says that. He dismissed the disciples to go, and then he was going to disperse the crowd, and then Jesus went to pray. So it was day when they left, and here we are now into the fourth watch of the night, and they still haven't made it to the other side. They're still a long ways away from the other side. He knows they're struggling. He knows the disaster's upon them. And now he's about to step in and do something, right? Let us struggle a little bit in our storm for a while so that we can learn some lessons. He doesn't keep us from the storm, but he promises us to be with us in the storm. So think of Jesus just walking on the water. It wasn't just across a little puddle or from here. He walked on the water for miles. And at some point, I mean, it had to be a minimum of 3-4 miles to get to where the disciples were, and he's just walking on water. And I got to believe it wasn't like you're skipping across a river from rock to rock or rock. He's just walking on the water. He's having a good old time. He's performing a miracle. He ain't struggling. He ain't scared out there. He's walking on the water. The disciples are about to be taken down by the storm. They're afraid for their life, and Jesus' robe ain't even wet, right? His hair is still all in place, looking good. The disciples are thinking they're going down, and Jesus is confidently walking on the water like he's out for a Sunday stroll. You agree? I gotta believe. He ain't out there struggling. I know that. I may be filling in some blanks a little bit, but my Jesus don't struggle walking on water. So he gets to them, and Peter says, it's safer in the boat than it is, or safer on the water with Jesus than it here is in the boat without him, right? Anybody ever been there? Been in a storm? Or you're in a good place, but it's safer in a storm with Jesus than it is on your own, sitting at Starbucks thinking, I'm a good person, I'll probably make it to heaven, I'm good enough. In the storms of life with Jesus is a way better place. Just like Peter said, I'd rather be out on the water in the storm than here in the boat without him. Because the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? Says he waits till it's the darkest watch. They're the furthest out. They're in the deepest water of the sea. And he reaches out. So I got in there, God controls blessings, but he also controls storms, right? And it might not always seem like it. He controls blessings. He controls storms. And sometimes storms are blessings, right? We don't see it at the time. We don't agree with it, but on the other side of that storm, we can count that as a blessing. You think of a kind of Christian you'd be if you never had a hard day? If you never struggled, if you never had anything to struggle against, if you've never been through any storms, if you were only a good time, feel good Christian, if a storm came along, you don't know what to do. Same with me as a firefighter. If I was a firefighter but never went to a fire, what good is that? When I do finally get one, I'm not going to know what to do. You got to go through some storms of life with Jesus. If you've never cried in your midnight hour or cried out to Jesus, what kind of Christian are you going to be? You can tell a lot by a person by what makes them angry, right? Something to get somebody angry, you can see, oh, they got a short fuse. I can read that person. You can also tell a lot of a person by what gets their sympathy, what makes them sympathetic towards someone else. And if I'm trying to help someone and I have no sympathy, or I've never experienced sympathy, how am I going to help your brother or your fellow sister in Christ if you've never had to experience that on your own? If you've never been through anything, how are you going to help anybody else through anything? And worse yet, what kind of testimony are you going to have? Stormtroopers. I need some stormtroopers. We can we can shout, we can praise, because we've been through it. We know. We praise God every day of the week, every morning, every night. We don't just go on Sunday and then take a break for the next week. And God has got us through, and I'm going to praise Him. Storms are transportation, I said. Sometimes God needs storms to get us where He wants us to be, but they're not just transportation. Storms can also be times of testing. Anybody ever been tested by a storm? Said when Jesus encountered the disciples on the water, they didn't even recognize Him. They didn't even know who He was. They were afraid. They thought He was a ghost because they were in the middle of that storm. And all they could see was the darkness. And their minds telling them, this is a ghost. Storms have a way of disorientating us, right?
Yeah.
Ever been in a bad storm? Sometimes you can get turned around. You don't know which way is which. Storms in life have the same way of doing that to us. We can lose our perception. We can lose our vision. Gets all messed up. We can get our priorities out of line. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. So I'm back to Jesus walking on the water. He's not disturbed. He's not anxious. He's not afraid. He's not upset. He didn't lose His faith. He's just out walking on water because He knows who He is, right? When you know who you are and you just keep on walking with Jesus, the storms aren't going to get to you. Let those people post all that stuff about you, try to get you down, all this person, or let them criticize you because you come to church and you raise your hand, oh, look at the holy rollers. Don't let them get to you. Don't let them get you down. Enemy will stumble before they get to you. I'm a child of God. You're all a child of God, right? Just keep on walking. Just like Jesus, just keep on walking. Faith is a long walk in one direction, right? Towards Jesus, with Jesus. Faith is a long walk in the same direction. Sometimes it gets hard, but I'm going to keep walking in that direction. I'm not going to get sidetracked and all of a sudden turn over here or decide to go backwards for a little while and go. Faith is a long walk in one direction, and that's towards Jesus. So they thought Jesus was a ghost. They were afraid. And it says when Jesus got within earshot or within hearing distance, because the wind was blowing and it was noisy and the storm was great, what did He say? Fear not, it is I. Be not afraid. Did I have that up there? I don't think I put it up there. But we know what it says. Fear not, it is I. Do not be afraid. This goes back to some more studyings and readings that I got, or that I've been doing or studying on that. And it kind of disputes a little bit of the translation from Greek there to English. And different versions pretty much all say it the same way, but in some thoughts or some, they say the closer translation is, fear not, I am. I don't think I put it up there. Fear not, I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection, the beginning, the end. He's everything. I am. Tells them, fear not, for I am. And even as powerful as Jesus is, he tells them to fear not. Do not be afraid. He didn't say, all right, let's get out of here. Let's be done with this storm. He said, fear not, be afraid, I am. We'd want them to think that when we're with Jesus, that storm would just disappear and go away, like we know it does in the book or in the Bible. But we wanted to just be taken out of that storm, and sometimes that's not his plan. Fear not, I am. Philippians 4, we all know this verse, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And here it is, right? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Surpasses all understanding. By prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So if you're going through it this morning, if you came to church even though you didn't want to, I don't really feel like going to church today, I got to talk to people. If you came to church today in the middle of the storm, I say thank you. I'm glad you're here, because we all go through storms. Some of us go through bigger storms or at different times of our life, but this is the place to be when you're going through storms. Come and give your worship to God. Give your praise to him, your testimony, and he's going to take you there. He's going to get you to the other side. He's going to give you that peace that surpasses all comprehension. So here's another one that you do a little more reading or digging and studying with other people online. And the Bible says Jesus walked on the sea, right? We read it. You can check us out for yourself. It says Peter walked on what?
Water.
Jesus walked on the sea. Peter walked on water. You're reading it quick. You're thinking a lot. You don't think a whole lot about it. It's the same thing, right? They're both walking on the sea or on the water. Not a big difference. Jesus walks on the sea in the text, because he's walking on the storm. He's controlling everything. Yeah. He's showing the disciples that I'm in charge. I'm in control here. The wind is blowing and the waves are, it's a storm. Yeah. And he's casually walking on the sea because he's in control. Yes, he Peter walks on the water because that's the distance from Peter to Jesus. He's not out walking on the sea. He's walking to Jesus. Big difference there, right? He's getting to Jesus. Jesus is in control. He's walking on the sea. Peter says to him, we know what he says, Lord, whatever I have to do, if it is walking on water to get you, let me come. Right? I got a runny nose. Whatever it is, if I got to walk on water, and again, we in that time, they had never read about it. They hadn't seen the miracles, but he was willing. Whatever it is, Lord, let me come to you. It says in the Bible there, it says, if it is you, because they thought there was a ghost or they were afraid, and it says, if it is you, Lord, let me come to you, right? It's another one that's disputed a little bit on translation, or there's other thoughts on translation. It's a Greek word that says, is also translated, since it is you. Since it is you, Lord, let me come. Not if it is you, since it is you, Lord, let me come to you. Bid me to come to you. It's kind of the same word or the translation of, what was I thinking? John 14, when it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We all know this. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And in King James or New American, it says, and if I go. But in that translation, it's the same word of, since it's you, it's the same word that's used there, translated different. So instead of if I go, it's since I go. Since I'm already going, I'm going to come and prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you under me. Since it is you, Lord, bid me to come to you. It's the same word in Matthew 14. So Peter says to Jesus, since it's you, Lord, bid me to come meet you on the sea or on the water. Because he can't run the sea, but he can run the water to Jesus. And Jesus, what did he say to him? Come. Didn't have a great big speech, and it was just matter of fact, plainly. Come here then. And Peter, what? He got out of the boat and actually, for real, walked on water. Anybody here walked on water? I've never walked on water. Peter got out of the boat at the bidding of Jesus, who said, come here. And he had the faith to walk on water. He's walking on that liquid, moving, flowing water. He's walking on his way to Jesus. And before we get to the part where we know that the wind blows and Peter becomes afraid, I'm going to go back to another place. Peter's in the boat and he's asking Jesus to bid me, and he's getting ready to climb out of the boat. What do you think some of them other disciples might have been saying? Peter, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? You can't even swim, let alone walk on water. Get back in this boat this instant. You crazy, Peter? Anybody have people like that in their lives? We don't need boat people in our lives. When we want to go to Jesus and he's calling us to go to him, don't listen to them boat people saying, don't step out, Peter, you're going to drown. Put them out. Focus on Jesus. He ain't going to let you drown. He's going to protect you. So Peter teaches us here a little bit, or in my notes I got, there are no risk-free choices, right? Every choice we make holds some sort of risk. There are no risk-free choices, but there is choices to take risk, right? We can choose to step out in faith and follow God. We can choose to take a risk. There are no risk-free choices, but there are choices to take risks. So too many Christians nowadays, they're not willing to take any risks. They're never going to lead an exciting Christian life because they're stuck in the boat. It's true. Dad laughs at me, but it's true. If I'm never willing to get out of the boat, Peter's not going to walk on water. I'm not going to walk on water. We need to be willing to take some risks. The play it safe Christian life can be boring. We need to take some risks because that's what God wants us to do. If you're too afraid to take any sort of risk, if you're too afraid to reach in your wallet and putting something in the plate because what will I have then? Or if you're too afraid to talk to the person next to you because, oh, I don't know them and they look a little strange, what's the point? Take some risks. Go to that person on the street and tell them, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Yeah. Tell your friend, hey, do you want to come to church with me next Sunday? We can't play it all with our cards so close to our... Take some risks. Lead an exciting Christian life. I'm afraid that person might think I'm weird. Who cares? Who cares? But Jesus is on your side. What difference does it make? What would happen if you take a risk? Jesus says it in Mark. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake when they come into the kingdom whom shall not receive a hundredfold. Who shall not receive a hundredfold? There is no one who has taken a risk for Jesus that will not receive a hundredfold in return. If you're just going to play it safe, it's going to be a boring life. Boring Christian life. If you never risk anything, you never got any adventures. You never got any stories. You never just works out as Corey has planned. It don't work that way, right? If you want to make God laugh, you want to get a good old knee slapper out of him up there, tell him what your plans are. God, this is what I want, and this is how I see it going, and this is what I'm asking you for, so please make it so. Yeah, and he's just going to say, yeah, right. Tell God your plans if you want to see. Yeah, it ain't going to work that way. Plan all you want because God decides. I didn't plan to be standing here. I'd have much preferred, I've said it for years growing up, I'd be happier in the back room mopping the floor or vacuuming or somewhere where you didn't see me. I didn't plan. I didn't want to be here. Now here I am. God had different plans. I got to speed this up. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, right? Right. Keeps getting better. Yes, yes. Anybody see my sign out front this week? I changed it all the time. Yeah. Yeah. I put on there, ask Jesus to be your Valentine. Yeah. His love is eternal. Yeah. Anybody that takes a risk with Jesus ain't going to regret it. So Peter said, Lord, since it is you, meet me on the water. And Jesus said, come. Peter gets out and he's actually walking on the water. And then what happens? The storm got his attention and the wind blew and he got afraid. And he took his eyes off of Jesus. And what happens? He started sinking. He started going under. He lost focus. He lost sight. This is a simple little Sunday school message here, but he lost sight of Jesus and down he goes. He went from faith to walk on water to the storm distracting him, losing his vision, and down he's going. God's done so much for us. He's blessed us in too many ways to lose sight, to not come to church. Too many people get, oh, I don't feel like church, I'm a little angry right now, I'm not going. God's done too much to just over a little distraction, over a little storm, to turn away. Praise your way through that storm. Come and give him the glory. Come and give him your testimony, because you might not be here just for you, you might be here for the person next to you. Stop listening to the boat people in your life and focus on Jesus. When you're walking with Jesus, he can make a whole lot of stuff better. You can get rid of a lot of garbage. You can take care of a lot of heartache. God is still in the business of doing miracles, right? We're reading about a miracle back in the Bible, but God is still in the business of doing miracles, and he does them every day. Changes lives every day. He heals people every day. God is in the business of doing miracles. So Peter, he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts to sink. But what does he do? As he's sinking, he still has the presence of mind to say, Lord, save me. He still cried out to him. He lost sight and he lost faith or started sinking, but he still had the presence of mind to say, Lord, save me. So when your faith fails, as I start to wrap up here, we lose sight. Don't lose the sense to say, Lord, help me. Yeah. Don't lose the sense to, I need you. I need your help. to stretch out that hand. Don't look away. Don't walk in the wrong direction. Even when life's all blown up and it's not making any sense, keep looking to Jesus. Some people have made mistakes. I've made mistakes in my life. You made choices that you wish you could go back and take back and change, or if I had to do this over again. It doesn't matter. Have the sense to cry out to Jesus. Save me from this mess I got myself into. Save me from myself, because sometimes I myself am the storm. Even when we don't think of it, sometimes we can create a lot of problems for ourselves. That's because we ain't listening. We're losing focus. So what's the Bible say once Peter got back up and they got in the boat? What happened? The wind and the waves, it ceased. It stopped. He got in the boat and it stopped. And what did the disciples say to him, to Jesus? Surely you are the Son of God. So storms, we can use them as transportation by God to get us somewhere, to get us through something, to learn a lesson. Storms can be our testing to see how we respond and react. And now hearing this by that phrase, you are truly the Son of God, that storm is their testimony, right? He calmed the storm. He walked on the sea. He calmed the storm. That's our testimony. So it's a simple little message. It's a Sunday school message I'm here on today. We've all read it. I'm hoping that it sunk in or it means something to somebody here today. I'm going to close out in a word of prayer. And Lord, I just thank you again for this day, Lord, and this church and the congregation that's here, Lord God. I thank you for each and every person and individual that made it here today, Lord. I ask that you just speak to each every heart and every mind that's here, Lord God, and that when the storms of life come, because they do come, we are going to face storms, Lord. But when I face that with you, Lord, it's much better than being in the boat without you. And I ask that you just give us that peace and understanding, Lord God, of who you are, Lord God. You're the way maker and the miracle worker. And as long as we keep our eyes and our focus on you, Lord God, we don't have to fear going under. We can walk on the water with you. I ask that you just touch each person here, Lord God, as they go forth. Be with them this week, Lord God, and just speak to each person individually, Lord God. Give them a touch and a blessing from you, Lord God, and just an experience to know that you are real and that you are there with them, Lord God, and just comfort and be there with them, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You got anything to...
Yeah, we will. Thank you, God. I just want to add to something real quick, and that's that... Like he said, if you're going to listen to the people in the boat, you aren't going to find the life that you're really looking for. It is totally into Christ because it isn't within our own ability or power or anything else, but it's in God's presence and those that are willing to take steps. And like he said, you know, that there are storms. And as he was preaching, it reminded me of a time. You know, when we went out to New York, long story, I won't get into some of these things, but you know, we were the first white people to go in a black and Puerto Rican neighborhood in 14 years. And it was absolutely bizarre, but God did more things than you could ever imagine. We'll tell you some of the miracles and power and all that God did. And after 3.5 years, you know, the church is doing well. We got 38 guys in drug rehabs. All these things begin to start. And then all of a sudden, God begins to put India on our heart. And, you know, we went around and trying to get ready to go to India. I mean, we didn't have nothing. We never had anything when we went to New York, but God was able. And I remember my brother-in-law to my wife, and he said, you don't have to follow him all over. He said, you know, if you want, I'll take care of you and the kids. You can come and live with us. You know, we got these three little kids. Now we've been in this crazy place, and we're going to a crazier place. And the guys in the boat were trying to talk us out of it. But, you know, today, 40 years later, more than 900 churches, probably close to 3,000 pastors, you name it, God has done things unbelievable. Brought people in, we're able to bring people in that started all the programming for Christian broadcasting, got it on televisions. It's God's grace. We could never do anything, but he can. And it isn't ability, it's willingness. And then that willingness is not looking at a storm because they're going to be there. And it's not listening to the people always in the boat if they don't have God advice. You know, take some chances. You know, God takes the simple things of this world, and every one of us can be that, to confound the wise. Amen? We're going to pray for Kirsten. If you want to come and pray, if anybody needs prayer, come on up. If you've never given your life to the Lord, don't run away. We want to pray with you too. Amen. You're free in the name of Jesus. And if someone wants to come with us and pray over her too,